Welcome to Mark and Friends. I'm your host, Donna Leland, and today we talk about one of my favorite subjects. It's the grace of God, and to help us do that will be Kyle DeRoberts. He hails from Arizona, and he's also an author with Moody Publishers, Grace Beyond Salvation, Revealing God's Love from Genesis to Revelation. Welcome to Mark and Friends, Kyle.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really do appreciate it.
I told you it's one of my favorite subjects when I really dug into the grace of God a number of years back. It did transform how I view my everyday life, and it just has so many wonderful benefits. So now, how has God and His grace impacted or maybe transformed your life, you know, in the past, today? How does that work its way out in a practical aspect of your life?
Yeah, you know, for me, there's a, you know, the greatest commandment is that we should love God with all of our heart and soul and mind. And then the second is like it, that we should love our neighbor. And then there's this phrase that I think is overlooked sometimes, and it says, as ourself. So there's this reality that in order to love one another, we actually have to love ourself. And I think when it comes to grace, one of the things that I've come to appreciate and try to incorporate into my life, even through writing this book, is that I really have to, if I'm going to extend grace to one another, I need to receive grace myself. And so that means that I have to not only give myself grace, but I also need to give one another grace. And so I feel like in the process of writing this, like I've been more aware of my own sin in my life. But I also experience the forgiveness and the grace of God in the midst of it, which I think then in turn, you know, changes the way in which I interact with my wife and my kids and my friends and my coworkers and ministry and all of these things. Like, it actually changes me, because now, instead of just being judgmental or contemplating whether or not somebody should receive grace, I feel like I'm in a much healthier place and posture before God as the creature, knowing that He's the creator. And now I'm just thinking in terms of, man, I want this person to lean into God's grace. Like, that's where rest is going to be found. Like, that's where the peace they're looking for is going to be found. But I can't point them in the direction of grace unless I myself have been there. And so, and I myself know how to get back there. And so that's part of the story that I'm hoping to tell, is not only one that can transform us, but then as a result of that, then we can begin to go help others figure out how to go find grace as well.
So true. I mean, so often, if you're interacting with someone who seems so ungracious and just very exacting and legalistic, you know, it's become my pattern to say, what's going on in their life where they're treating themselves like that? You know, if they're treating other people like that, that's how they're thinking that God is treating them. Exacting, unforgiving, legalistic, harsh. You know, I think it's our view of God that gets so messed up. And so we don't see Him as a kind and loving God because we're not allowing Him to do that for us. And I think that's my challenge in my everyday life, just to keep understanding how good and gracious He is to me. And then I'm so much more willing to give people, you know, some space to experience the grace of God.
Yep. Yeah, 1 John 4, verse 12 is an interesting verse. It talks about love, but I think we can apply it to grace as well. And the whole idea there is that when we love one another as believers in Jesus, when we love one another, we actually make an invisible God visible. And I think the same logic applies in terms of grace. When we are gracious towards one another, what we're doing is we're making an invisible God visible, meaning like they're experiencing, yes, us, but there's also something that they're experiencing by way of us that points them towards God. Now, the other side of that, though, is when we refrain from being gracious to one another, sometimes people think that as we're treating them, that that's actually how God feels about them as well. And that's what probably grieves me the most, is that I would not want somebody, due to my lack of graciousness towards somebody else, to think that that God feels the same way towards them. And that's I don't want to like guilt people into being more gracious, but I just think it matters. Like if anything, more than anything, it's just the way in which we love people and the way in which we're gracious towards one another. Like it actually means something. Like it's meaningful.
Mm-hmm. That is so good. because that really is that, you know, evidence of God's kindness and love towards them while on this planet. And it's hard at times because people are doing things and they're saying things that we just don't agree with. And we know that it's egregious in God's eyes and that it's harming them. And, you know, it's just not the way. So, you know, in that moment, it's choosing, right? Choosing to be gracious towards them and let your kindness lead them to repentance, which is so much fun to watch. I'm interacting with this one gal in my city, you know, antithesis to anything that I'm into. And yet, you know, we are working for our community together, and she knows it. And she'll say little things, trying to, you know, poke at me a bit just to see where I'm at. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to keep at it. You know, as far as our connection, we're working for the common good. And I think that's what really freaks them out sometimes. Don't you think, Kyle, that we don't come at them, and but we just give the Lord space and grace to do a work. And it's sometimes hard.
Yeah. It's, again, not to be provocative, I do think there's a difference between, like, it's not the same thing. So if I love you, that's not me condoning you. If
no.
I'm gracious towards you, that's not me condoning
you. Yeah.
And so as a follower of Jesus, as I have been loved and as God has been gracious towards me, when I extend that to, like, your friend there in the city, well, what's amazing about that is she knows what you think.
Yeah.
What she's still curious of is, in light of her knowing, Donna knowing still what I think, will she still love me? Will she still be gracious towards me? And that's the thing that I wish we would do more of within our communities is, yeah, I'm not asking us to condone sin, but boy, we have the ability to go into a lost and seeking and hurting world and not just tell them how lost they are, or tell them just all of the things that they're doing wrong, but we can also extend grace to them. We can also be loving towards them and allow that to be some of the mechanism that we use evangelistically to draw them to God and let them experience. Like, they almost need to put to the test themselves that nothing they have done would make God not want to have a relationship with them. But they need to experience that for themselves.
That's so real. My heart goes out when I think about the grace of God to women I have known in my, you know, circle, homeschool moms, women at church, that have made the choice when they were a teenager to have an abortion. And it's still right there in their brain, right there. And to move that to a place where they're really settled into the grace of God is my hope and my prayer. It's what I pray for. And I just think in that moment, if people could grab hold of the fact that God loves them, it's forgiven, He forgets it, and we can move on and not have that, when it comes to our brain, take over our heart and our soul and cast us down. So that's really been a prayer focus that I've had, that people could really understand that, yes, yes, God's grace is that great, isn't it, Kyle? God's going to use that situation to really challenge us. Do we believe it? Do we believe it? But you know what? God's in my life watching me, right, lead a double life when I go for that second cheeseburger or, I, you know.
That felt personal. That's
very personal. You know?
I'm just kidding.
I mean, yeah. And he's
no,
in my
life. And
when I don't forgive, when I bring up grievances that, you know, I should have left years ago, when I gossip about people, which I have just recently, you know, so yeah, we all need the grace of God to not give in to sin. I love that emphasis that you've given us this entire time. Grace does not celebrate sin. It doesn't. And I think that's what we got to get over with. Just because God is gracious to someone does not mean He is on the sin train. He's
right.
He wants them to not sin and not follow according to the flesh. That's the whole goal. And the only way you get that is through the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Well, this has just been a delightful time, Kyle. You know, I could talk about the grace of God just all day long because I got this awareness maybe 15 years ago of His kindness and His love toward me, and it did revolutionize how I act toward other people and how I act even, you know, toward myself. And what kind of role do you think grace is playing in spiritual growth, discipleship, and how do we act this out and help other people?
Well, you know, when you're dealing with discipleship, you know, you will not grow in your faith if you are not gracious towards yourself. And what I mean by that is if you don't give yourself grace, let's just take prayer, for example. As you're learning and discipling and through discipleship how to pray, you will not get it right. It'll feel awkward. You know, you're going to say wrong things. You're going to want to reword things. You're going to think through and maybe praying about different. I mean, it'll just be a constant trial and error as you're learning that spiritual discipline. And so the way in which you stick with it is going to be because you've extended grace to yourself as you've been trying to learn that spiritual discipline. Now, take that same logic and then apply it to any other spiritual discipline, and I think it works the same way. And so we, through our sanctification, as we become more like Jesus and less like ourselves, that whole process is going to require that we're gracious towards ourselves in the midst of that, that development and that discipleship. Because if what we do is if at the first moment in which we experience discomfort or we don't get it right and we bail and we forego that, what we're doing is we're foregoing growth. We're foregoing transformation to become more like Jesus and less like ourselves. And so I think very practically, the greatest growth you will have is in your acceptance of the grace of God.
Some of our self-talk, Kyle, is so ugly. We're like mean girls, aren't we?
Yes, we truly are. Yeah, we you know, my anecdotally, my kids, you know, they play sports, and so anytime they engage in kind of negative self-talk, my response is 10 push-ups.
Mm.
And you know, we'll just be, no matter where we are, it's just like, get down, 10 push-ups, like, let's go. And you know, that's just kind of our playful way of kind of addressing that. But no, it is. It's so unnecessary. And I think a lot of the negative self-talk even comes from the best of intentions sometimes, because we truly are trying our best and we get so frustrated when we don't achieve what we're setting out to do. And so even if they come from the best of intentions, we still need to be gracious towards ourselves. We need to.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit is. He counsels us. He loves us. He leads us. And so just listen to Him, dear friend, and allow Him to do the beautiful work in your life to remind you of who you are in Christ and what the plan is to just lead you into the next step. So, Kyle, if you could summarize the core message of Grace Beyond Salvation, you know, what would it be? The real takeaway here in your book about grace.
I would say that God, from the very beginning of the Bible to the very end, has had a distinct intention and purpose of dwelling with you. And I would say that those of you listening that are in need of rest, that have been seeking peace and can't seem to find it, no matter where you look, that I would encourage you that the greatest place to find what I think your soul is longing for the most is the grace of the Lord Jesus. Like, there, as you're dwelling with God, I think you will find that peace and that rest that you so desire.
That's so good. You know, just thinking now, right where you are, what you're going through, dear listener, He's okay with you. He's okay with you. He knows what you're going through. You don't have to start working on getting to a place where you think He's going to be smiling at you. He loves you. His smile is on you right now, and He's going to be working and changing and growing. And He who began the good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, you know, even if sometimes we're not on the plan. And so we're just going to encourage you, dear one, to be patient. We've been talking with Kyle D. Roberts on Mark and Friends. He is the author of Grace Beyond Salvation, Revealing God's Love from Genesis to Revelation, and this is through Moody Publishers. Thank you so much, Kyle, sharing your insight into God's grace with us.
Hey, thanks again for having me. I look forward to talking with you again.
of the time you've healed so much in me, and I am living proof that although my darkest hour come, your light could still shine through. And though at times it's just enough to cast shadow on the wall, well, I am grateful that you shine your light on me at all. Who am I? You love me so gently. Who am I? Yeah. You would recognize my name, Lord. Who am I? And you would speak to me so sadly. Conversation with the love most high. Who am I? Well, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And the more I sing that sweet old song, the more I understand that I do not comprehend this love that's coming from your hand. Who am I? You will love me so gently. Who am I? Yeah, that you would recognize my name, Lord. Who am I? With the love most high, who am I? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than
covers.
Thanks so much for joining us for Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media. Have a great day.